Okay. All right. So our topic tonight is going to places which are potentially filled or have people that are dressed somewhat immodestly, referring to specifically to women. Men also should obviously be dressed modestly, but it's less of a halachic problem in that case.
More of a fashion problem.
Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah. Okay, get with the times. So the question basically we're going to focus on, this is sort of an extension of last time we spoke a little bit about the question of hystakos, of gazing and looking and interactions with men and women together. And this one is more a question of a specific issue of looking at women, but not necessarily you're staring, but I guess maybe yes, staring. But the question is, if you're allowed to go to a place where you know or you think there might be females that are dressed somewhat inappropriately. Okay, that's the question that we have here. And this question, of course, arises in a number of different cases. It arises, you go to the beach, the question of can you go to the beach? Number two, especially here in Israel, we have water hikes. It's pretty common to go on water hikes in the summer. So the question is that something which is halachically permissible, completely forbidden? Does it depend? If so, what does it depend on? How do you figure out the different factors that are involved? And of course, that any other case also. Just to be clear, and we'll talk about this more as we go on, the fact is that if you're wondering about going to a place where you're dressed immodestly, where people are dressed immodestly, so you have to wonder, can you walk out into any street in the summertime? Okay, in the wintertime, it's not such a problem, but in the summertime, you walk out in any street, in any big city, in any country, and even in Israel, unfortunately, there are going to be a lot of people out there that are not dressed most tzanua away. Okay, now Tel Aviv, if you go there, for sure that's the case, and certainly near the beach. But even in Yerushalayim, unfortunately, if you go into main places in Yerushalayim, there'll be a lot more people that are dressed in a tzanua manner. But there's still going to be plenty of people that are, certainly have, parts of their body that you may not be appropriate to see. Okay, even if we don't ignore just the question of short sleeves, just talk about short shorts or like tank tops or tons of different things that could be, that could be questions. So we're going to focus on certain sources that deal with this type of question, and then there may be some issues that we may not get to, or you can raise in the middle that we'll see if we can answer, or we have to just push you off and say we're not going to get to it. Okay, so let's get started. We'll move in a couple minutes. All right, let's start with this. Okay, so the main sugya in the Gemara that deals with this is actually a sugya in Bava Basra. Okay. What is the Daf Yomi up to? I think I don't remember if you passed it. Oh, so you're not there yet. Okay. So when you get to it, so you'll recognize this Gemara right away. It's a Gemara, famous Gemara on Daf Nun Zayin, in Bava Basra. It's there just as a side point. It's not really related to the main discussion there, but it's a really, really, really important Gemara when it comes to our discussion. Because I'll read to you best I can, seeing that there are no lights on here where we're getting the shir now. Probably move in a couple of minutes. So the Gemara quotes the following.
Do you want to go
passage.
Down now?
Maybe. Should we do that now? All right. Let's pause it for a second.
You're on.
Okay. So basically, look in the right in the middle of the daf of Nun Zayin on the bed in Bava Basra. Right where it starts. I don't know. Every Gemara is a little different in how it quotes the pasuk, but it starts right in the middle of the line. Ve'otzem einav nira'os ra. Okay. Somebody, this is a pasuk from Yeshayahu, okay, Perek something or other, Chav something or other, Lamagil, sorry. Okay. Otan Enav Neira Os Ra. Okay, somebody who basically closes his eyes, Neira Os Ra, from seeing something bad. Okay, the pasuk basically is teaching you, is telling you about somebody who does good things. Holech Tzedakot V'dover Meisharim, he does, righteous things and speaks well and he dislikes doing, taking bribes and all sorts of stuff like that. And then it adds with that, votes in Erav Miro's Barah. And he closes his eyes from seeing bad things. So the pasuk seems to be talking about somebody who is like a tzaddik, okay? He's somebody who does good things, okay? He's not necessarily somebody who's, just following the Ikar Hadin. It sounds like this might be something which is even above and beyond what he has to do. Let's see what the Gemara does with this, okay? So the Gemara says, Amar b'chil bar Abba, who is this talking about? Somebody who closes his eyes from seeing something which is bad. Okay, our whole series of Shovim, we've been focusing a little bit on Shmir HaSeinayim, at least partially. This pasuk is talking about that. What does it mean, though? What's it referring to? So b'chil bar Abba says, Zeh she'ein mistakel b'nashim b'shah she'om dos ala kfisa. This refers to somebody who does not look at women during a time when they are standing by their laundry. Okay, what in the world is this talking about here? So if you look at the Raj bomb, I think on the side, yeah, he doesn't really say exactly, but basically there in those days, so there it was pretty common for people to do their laundry by the river. Okay, why was that? Because they didn't have washing machines and dryers. Okay, so they could do their laundry with water in their house, but it was just much easier to do it by the river. So it seems that at the very least, again, this is also not so clear who it's talking about here. Rabbeinu Gershom says it's actually talking about non-Jews that used to wash by the river. Why is that? Because the Gemara says in the previous line, which we didn't read, but the Gemara says in the previous line, She'ein darkon shel benos Yisrael lisbazos al hakvisa, that the Jewish girls, Jewish women, do not embarrass themselves or shame themselves by washing by the river. Okay? That's the understanding, at least, of the Rashbam. Okay? Because of the fact that if they go by the river, so once they have to put their clothes in the river, so they're going to pick up their dresses or whatever it is, and they're going to expose either their legs and maybe even their thighs. Some say maybe they're going to expose their forearms. There's a bit of a question exactly which part, but it seems like they're going to expose certain parts of their body, which are generally supposed to be covered. Well, I'll take the easiest one is the thigh, okay, the shuk, basically above their knee. Okay, if they have to go into the river or partially into the river, they're going to have to pick up their dresses above the knee probably in order to be able to wade in the river and put their clothes inside. So the Gemara seems to say in the previous line that Jewish females do not do that. Okay, they figure out some ways to do it in their courtyard. If that's the case, so then that's what Rabbeinu Gershom says, that we're talking about non-Jewish women. Okay, either way though, it doesn't really matter. It's the same point, that a person who goes next to the river and does not look at women when they are busy doing their laundry there, okay, with this their exposed part of their bodies, so that's considered to be the positive attribute of somebody who's otzem einav me'ra os bara, okay, who closes his eyes and doesn't see anything bad. Okay, good so far? So far that's pretty clear in the Gemara. Again, we'll have to see what the practical implications of that might be, but the Gemara is pretty clear. Question is, the Gemara wants to know. The Gemara basically puts what the Gemara always does, and okay, the Gemara says, wait a second. What is this talking about? Does this really make sense or not? So the Gemara says, Heichidami, the Gemara asks, okay, what is this talking about? If there's another way, Russia, then he's a Russia. What does that mean? So first, let's figure out what that means. What does it mean to have another way? Darka achrita. What do you think that means?
He doesn't have to go to the river.
Right. I mean, let's say wherever he's going. I don't know where he's going. He's going to, to go visit his relative or to go to his field or something, which is on the other side. So the question is, if what's the case? Did he have to follow to go past these women or past the river, or not? So the Gemara says, if there's another way to go, meaning if he didn't have to pass the women, he could have gone that way instead of this way, and instead he chose purposefully, to go past the women. And he says, Rushahu, that's a Russia. Okay, that's not just somebody who's like, who does good things. Look at the Rashbam here. I'll just read it to you. Basically, he says again, the Rashbam says what I said before, that the person the pasuk is talking about is like a chassid. He's like an extra level, a higher level. Okay, why? Because he closed his eyes. So what the Rashbam basically explains here is, well, let's say he didn't close his eyes. Okay, what kind of person is he if he walks past the woman and didn't close his eyes? So the Gemara is saying basically, if there's another way he could go, then he's a rasha. He's not just like a regular person. And if he closes his eyes, he's a tzaddik. He's like even better. He's a chassid. No, he would be a complete rasha. Okay, if he walks that, if he has another way to go. So it seems like that's not really the case that Rabbi Chiya was talking about. If there's no other way to go, meaning the only way he can get to his destination is to go past these women that are washing their laundry. So then he says, Anusu, that it's an onus. Okay, it's not his fault. He has no choice, meaning he's got to go there. So he's going to pass them. What's he supposed to do about it? So again, why does that mean that? Why does he have to close his eyes, basically? It seems like, at least according to the way the Rashbam understands it, the Rashbam says, Imistakal derech halichaso. Okay, if he looks while he's walking, okay, ones rachmana patre. The Torah says, an ones, if it's not your fault, you're compelled, so then you're pater. What can we do? Lamamaskikako. Okay, why does the pasuk say that it's good to close your eyes? You shouldn't have to close your eyes. Okay? So, again, the Gemara says the answer is, la'olam deleka darka achrita. Okay, really, there's no other way. Okay? The only way he could go to get to his destination was this way. So then why do we say, okay, that he has to close his eyes? Why can't he keep his eyes open while he's just walking? He happens to just be walking. What's it? It's an onus. So the Gemara says, Afilo hachimi ba'alil menas nafshe. Even so, even though there's no other way to go and you have to go this way, you have to put yourself into a situation where it's like ilu menas nafshe, to make yourself in onus. What does that mean exactly? Basically, what it means to say, okay, what the Rashbam says, what it means to say is that he's just got to tilt his head or tilt his eyes to the side, okay? Meaning, basically, there's no other way to go. So is he allowed to go this way? Yes. Is he allowed to look? Apparently, the answer is yes. Okay, but what's the better thing to do? What's the ideal thing to do that would make you a chassid? That's like above and, you know. So then, basically, what he says is that you should close your eyes, or at least turn them to the side like that, so you're not looking. Okay, that's really the ideal way of doing it. And that's what the Rashbam, at least according to the Rashbam, that's what makes him a chassid. Okay? So there are other interpretations of this Gemara, which we're not going to go into because it's going to get a little confusing. The Rabbeinu Gershom understands it a little bit differently than this, so it's pretty similar, but a little bit differently in terms of the chassid, tzaddik part, and what kind of person are we talking about. There are other interpretations as well, but the Rashbam's parish is pretty standard. So let's follow the Rashbam's interpretation for now. Let's try to understand what would be the halachic implications of this Gemara. Okay, and if you try to apply this Gemara to any situation, okay, if, let's say going to a place where you know that somebody's going to be dressed immodestly, okay, what would be the way, how would you look at it based on this Gemara? What's the first thing you have to figure out? I mean, according to the Gemara, what would be the first thing you have to figure out?
So, do the choice.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So let's take the two options. If there's a choice of going a different way, okay, so then what's the halacha, what, according to the Gemara, straight out? What does it sound like the Gemara is saying? Okay, and if there's another way to go that you can avoid the pritzis, it sounds like, again, what does pritzis mean? That we didn't really discuss that, but let's assume for now, you know, parts of the body that are usually exposed. Okay, what does that mean? That's also not clear, but usually not exposed. That's what I meant. Sorry, thank you. Usually not exposed, okay? Meaning like, you know, the chest area and, you know, above the thigh, let's say, you know, very, very short shorts or whatever, things like that. So, in that case, if you could go a different way, what does the Gemara sound like? Are you supposed to? Yes. And what happens if you don't go a different way? What does it sound like? You're a Rasha. It sounds like you're a Rasha if you still go that way. That's what it sounds like. So the first thing you could figure out, well, in that case, okay, if you're a Rasha, if you go a way that you didn't have to go, okay, so then what does that mean that you're a Rasha? So the Rashbam says what that means, does it mean you're over an Avera? Is there an Avera from walking that way? Or is it only if you stare really intently? How do you work on this? Well, this is very confusing, this Gemara, by the way, because it's like a classic Lumsus Gemara, even though it's not really Lumsus at all. But it's really, if you start to break it down and analyze it, it's very confusing. Okay, we'll just try to take out some of the points here, at least according to one interpretation. The Rashbam says that the idea here is what's called the harchik min akir. Okay, it's an expression in other Gemaras. Harchik min akir basically means that you're supposed to distance yourself from something which is inappropriate. So what the Rashbam seems to be saying here is, are you really a Rasha? Were you over an actual Avera of Histaklus, according to the Rashbam? Harchek min akir seems to me that you're supposed to distance yourself from something which is inappropriate. That's the way it's used in other Gemaras. And not for now. There's a Gemara in Chulin about this and somewhere else, I think. It seems to be like, you know, you don't want to do something which looks inappropriate. Were you really over an Avera? Not necessarily. So according to the Rashbam, at least, it sounds like, you know, are you really over Histaklus? The answer is maybe not. Okay, I mean, maybe you walked past them. You could have gone a different way. You walked past the women that were, you know, that were dressed, you know, somewhat immodestly. And, okay, you happen to see them, but you weren't really staring at them. You happen to see as you were walking. So you're a Rasha because you should have walked the other way, but are you really over the Avera of Histaklus? Not necessarily, according to the Rashbam. Again, Rabbeinu Gershom may disagree. He may hold it's a little bit more severe, but that's what the Rashbam seems to say. Okay. The Rambam has slightly... Actually, no, before we... Let's not get to the Rambam yet. Okay, the other option in the Gemara, okay, that's if you could have gone the other way. And what happens if you couldn't have gone the other way? Okay, if you have no choice, you had to go this way. That's the only way you could get somewhere. So what's the halacha? Seemingly, according to the Gemara, are you allowed to?
Yes.
Sounds like you're allowed to. Okay, you can go that way. You have no choice. But what's the best thing to do in that situation? Turn your eyes. Okay, good. So that's what the Gemara says. Now, the Rambam understands it a little bit differently. And this analysis is developed here in this interesting sefer that I have called, I think it's Atzenuim Chachma. It's based on a pasuk, I think in Mishlei. I always forget if it's Atzenuim Chachma or Etzenuim Chachma. I always forget how to pronounce it, but it's Rai Rosh Yeshiva from Karnei Shomron, Hesri Yeshiva, in the Shtachim, in Karnei Shomron, that's the name of the place. So he wrote a series of Sarim on Hilchos Tznius, and this one basically has a whole analysis of this question here of walking in, you know, these kind of places. And basically he quotes here also, he does a whole analysis of the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Gershom and Yad Ramah and the Meiri. It's quite detailed. We're not going to go into any more than I've mentioned now, but just mention here that he mentions also the Rambam, who seems to understand it a little differently than the question of harchik mina kiur, of just distancing yourself. What he basically says is, he puts the halacha in Hilchas Yisuri Bia in Perek Chaf Aleph. He puts it right next to the halacha that you're not allowed to look at it, animals that are mating. Okay? You can't look at animals that are mating. Why? Okay? So we'll see in a second. All right? In the next case, the next halacha, he says also you can't look at women that are, you know, standing doing their laundry. Okay? And even to look at a colored clothing of a woman that you know, that was from the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, we said, I think last time, that's Asur also. Why? Shelo yavo lidei hirhur. Okay, because we don't want you to come to hirhur. So, what does the Rambam seem to be saying here? What's the main issue, according to the Rambam, of going next to the walking this way? It seems like it's an issue of hirhur. We're afraid that you are going to have improper thoughts when you see that. Okay. Now the question is that the same thing as Rabbeinu Gershom or as the Rashbam? Okay. They said it's based on harchek min akir. Okay.
How do you translate harchek min akir?
Distance yourself from something which is literally disgusting, but it basically means it's something which is inappropriate. Okay? I mean, it sounds there like it's not really a question of here or, but it's really a question of that it's inappropriate to go there because it looks terrible. It looks like you're staring at women that are, you know, dressed immodestly. So the Rambam's understanding of here or might be, okay, might be a little bit different. Okay? According to the Rambam, it could be that you're not allowed to look because of here or, but maybe there's some room to be nakil, you know, because of other types of hear her concerns. Okay, meaning, basically what he says here is, let's say that, you know, according to the Rambam, maybe there's some room to say that if you don't have a choice, then it's totally mutter if you don't think you're going to have a problem here. We'll get back to this in a few minutes. Okay, I mean, maybe there could be a kula that comes out of the Rambam because of the fact that it's based on hear her. Okay, we'll have to come back to that. All right. Okay, so basically that's what we have here. Okay, that's the way that it's looked at. Now, what's interesting, according to the Rambam, I should mention also, the Rambam doesn't mention anything about Dark Achrina. All he says is you're not allowed to look at women that are standing by the laundry because of you might come to hear her. But he says nothing about whether to go a different way or this way or can't use an onus. He says nothing like that. He left it out. That's also a bit strange. Why did he leave it out? Okay. And if you look at the Shulchan Aruch also doesn't mention that. He just says, Aser liestakel v'nashem shalom dosal kvisa. You're not allowed to look at women that are standing by the laundry. And he doesn't mention anything else. So what do we do with that? He doesn't mention, it sounds like it's always Aser. That's pretty scary, right? If it's always Aser, then it doesn't matter. What if you have to go that way? What are you supposed to do? So what would be the answer?
Don't go.
Okay, don't go. Or maybe the answer is just don't look. Mm-hmm. Maybe the answer is just don't look. And according to the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, this is now the points before, what happens if, let's say, that you could go another way, but you choose to go this way, but you don't look? Is it still Aser? If the only issue is here and you don't look, maybe it's Mutter. That's not what the Gemara seemed to say, but maybe that's what the Rambam understood from the first original statement. The Gemara made it like an Okimta. Maybe the Rambam didn't like it.
You're saying don't look. Is it histakla? Is it more like staring? Or is
that's
it?
That's also
like
a question. That depends on how you understand histakla. And that we spoke about last time. It's a big machlokas. Let's assume for now we're going to take the more makeup position, which is that histakos basically means gazing, okay? Which means if you're not gazing, if you happen to look, you're going like this, then, see, you know, maybe, you know, it's not so bad. Maybe what the Rambam is saying, you can't stare at them, but if you're not staring, you're looking a different way, or you're looking but just happen to be, even if you could go a different way, maybe it's not so bad. Maybe the main issue is just saying you can't stare because that's going to lead you to hear her, okay? Maybe. Or maybe he means no. If the problem is here, or maybe it means you can't look even a little bit, because if you look a little bit, you might look more. Maybe that's not, maybe it's a different definition of histakos. It's not really so clear. Okay? Not really so clear. So the question is, where does this leave us here? So the Aruch HaShulchan, in this commentary, he brings it back. Okay? He brings back the Gemara, Dark Achrina, and like a Dark Achrina. It seems like most of the poskim do understand, except Dark Achrina and not Dark Achrina. Even though the Shulchan doesn't mention it, they seem to basically assume that the Gemara is still true. I mean, the Rambam is saying there's an Isser to stare to of Histaklus, but it's still, the question is, can you go that way in the first place? It seems like we still accept the Shulchan, the Gemara, and it still matters whether you could go that way or go a different way. So let's base it on that, okay? And the Aruch HaShulchan does accept that. Again, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention it, but it could be that he accepts it, and the Rambam accepts it, just that they're not really focusing on whether you could go a different way. They're just talking about whether you can look or not, okay? But still, should you have gone that way? Maybe not. So let's work with that. Okay. So basically, according to this, there are a lot of questions that we're not answering here. Okay. But let's take two or three cases based on what we've seen so far. Okay. Well, this will be our conclusion here for the next 10 minutes. Okay. Three cases. Number one, can you walk in the streets? All right. This is the most important case. Can you walk in the street where there's pritzis? Okay. Case number two is, can you go to the beach? Okay. Mixed swimming. And number three, can you go on, let's say, a water hike or a place which has water activities where there may be some people that are dressed immodestly, but you're not sure, not so many people, not sure exactly what the story is. Okay. Those are the three cases. Okay. So let's start with the first case. How do you deal with the case of pritzis? Okay. Meaning you walk in the street in the summertime and there are a lot of people that are dressed immodestly. What are you supposed to do? That's right. It's close to the Gemara. Okay. What do you do? Based on this Gemara, what would you say? What would be the option? So the first question, if you accept the Gemara, what would seem to be? Try to avoid it. It seems like you should go a different way.
But Waze is telling you to go this way.
So there's a question. Well, if you're driving...
Does Waze trump the Gemara? That's the question. That's the ultimate question.
Okay, well, here's the other part of the question. That was a joke question. Yeah, the real part of the question is, let's say, does the same thing apply when you're driving or it's only when you're walking? What do you think? It's a good question.
Hopefully you focused on the driving.
Right, so I would think... I did not see this question discussed directly. I didn't even think of it until you mentioned it. But I would assume that if you're driving, this doesn't apply. Unless you're, like, mom is driving at the beach, which might be... Well, anyway, that might be a question, but let's say forget driving at the beach. If you're driving somewhere, even if there are people dressed immodestly there, if you are driving trying to get somewhere, I would assume that because you're so content on your driving and hopefully looking at the cars in front of you and not at the people on the side, and it's not always so easy to see the people inside the cars.
Right.
So if that's the case, then l'chora should probably be mutter. That probably is not what the Gemara is talking about. That's not a direct thing. You're busy. You're not, you're not even in the same rishus. You're in your own rishus. You're in your car. I would guess this. I would venture to say that's probably okay. So let's assume for now we're talking about walking, or you drive and then you get out and you walk. Okay. So it seems like it's better. Again, I'll just give a practical example here. Again, this is scary, but let's say that you could walk in. I don't know. We're giving a city. Yerushalayim is. I guess you could talk about Yerushalayim or I don't know, Rehovot or Kiryat Malachi. Okay, wherever you want to be. All right, so if you have to get somewhere, and there's two different ways to go, and one way, one street is the less tenuous street. Yerushalayim, this is pretty easy. Let's say Yerushalayim, you can go get somewhere, and you can go either down Rehov Yafo, or you can go down Rehov Mea Sharim, let's say. Do you think there's a preference to go down Rehov Mea Sharim rather than Rehov Yafo? Scary question, right? It's hard to say, right? But
Yerushalayim is Eretz Kodesh.
Right, and you can go anywhere, right? Doesn't affect you. Okay, good. I like that. That's good. I don't know. Again, Yerushalayim is more tzanua than other places, but at the same time, there are still plenty of people that are dressed, right?
It's all good in Yerushalayim.
Yeah, it's all Yerushalayim. Let's put it this way, okay? Except for Haredi areas in Yerushalayim and most other almost every other city, is it easy? Could you say that like one street is more tsanua than a different street?
No, you don't know what you're going to see.
Not really. You don't really know what you're going to see. And the only difference would be like that question. If you could go down Rehov Mea Sharim or go down Rehov Yafo, and you know that Rehov Yafo has a lot of people that are not dressed so modestly, that would be the only case of those kind of cases where it would really be a real question. Other than that, though, it's really hard because you don't have places where every street you go on, you're going to find some people that are not dressed properly. Okay, so Pashtus Bisman Hazeh. Would be probably that you're stuck, that there's lekadarka achrita. Okay? That's probably what we would say. If that's the case, so then what would you say? Probably you're allowed to go whichever street you want to go on. Okay? But what should you do? You should try to not look, right? Yeah, meaning, in theory, you could walk and you could look if you look very quickly. Meikar hadin. Okay? If it's lekadarka achrita, there's no other way. But the best thing to do is to try to turn your eyes and avoid a gaze, or at least a steady gaze, okay? A staring gaze. That would seem to be what comes out from this. I should mention, before we go to the second two cases, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a very interesting tshuva here. Okay, very interesting tshuva. He quotes here also, Rav Haver quotes it. In Eben HaEzer, I think it's Chelek Aleph Siman Nun Vav. And by the way, I just also mentioned, before I mentioned Rav Moshe, there's another Gemara that he quotes here also, in Sota, which basically says that you shouldn't be somebody who's a prush kizai. What's a prush kizai? A prush kizai basically is a guy who, according to Rashi there, basically he basically closes his eyes. Okay, it's as if he closes his eyes. So he shouldn't look at women, okay, because he doesn't want to look. And in doing so, because he closed his eyes, because he didn't want to look at women, what did he do? He walked into a wall, okay, and he banged his head on the wall, and he's got a big bruise mark, or he's even bleeding. Okay, and then he's got to go try to let blood and try to, you know, stop the wound. That is a perishable. That's a silly person. Okay, meaning that's not what we're talking about. We don't say that you have to, you know, close your eyes and, you know, go like this and walk with blinders and hurt yourself in the process. Okay, that's what we say. Yes, you should try to turn your eyes a little bit, but it doesn't mean that you should try to hurt yourself in the process. Okay, that's what he points out here from Makamar and Sota. That being said, okay, Rav Moshe has a very, very interesting tshuva. Okay, it's a bit long. I can't read the whole thing, but basically he asks the following question. Okay, to put things into perspective, he says, wait one second. Okay, leka darka achrita means there's no other way. Who told you that you had to go at all? Maybe you could have stayed home. Okay, yes, you have to go meet somebody. Yes, you have to go pick up your job. But if it's mamish an isser, if it's really an isser to walk past, it should be isser regardless. And there's nothing, you have to get around. You got to find another, something else. Who told you you're allowed to go? Why is the Gemara talk about it as an onus? Why is it like a dark achrita? Just stay home. Don't go. Okay? And yes, you suffer the consequences. It's not going to be easy, but if it's usser, it's usser. Okay? If it's a real isser d'oraisa, then you have to give up the Gemara. You know, we pass, and you got to give up all your money in order to not violate an isser d'oraisa, if that's really what it is. So Rav Moshe basically says, well, he's machadish, that this, the whole concern here, and we sort of already said this before, he basically says the whole isser is not really a regular isser. Okay? Meaning when we say you're not allowed to go past people, women that are, you know, doing their laundry, you're not allowed to look at them, what it means to say is the following. The whole concern is similar to what I told you before from the Rambam. Okay, the whole concern is chashash aveira. Okay, chashash of hirhur. And maybe even according to the Rashbam, he would agree with this, to some degree at least. Basically, what we're saying is if the whole concern is hirhur, then maybe, okay, if you have no other way around, because you have parnasa, or you have kids, or you have other something else, some other reason you need to go to do your daily activities, we can say if you are pretty sure that it will not affect you, then you can go. Okay, that's where Moshe's chiddush here. All right, he says if you're pretty sure that it will not affect you, you can go, and maybe it's better not to look so carefully, but maybe you don't have to. Meaning you're not required to do that. That would be the situation of leka darka achrita. If there's another way to go, then you know maybe you shouldn't do it. But then Ramosha goes another step, and he basically says, well, if that's true, then maybe, even depending on the situation, if it's a shas of the chak, okay, maybe you'd be allowed to go somewhere to do something if you are pretty sure that you will not come to hirhur. Okay, and I'll explain what I mean in just a second. All right? Basically, what he says is like this. Okay, now let's move to case two. Okay, in case one, basically everybody, most people agree that if you have to go somewhere, then you're allowed to go there. You shouldn't stare, but you can walk past. You can even glance if you just to make sure you know where you're going. And don't stare too much, but not the worst thing in the world if that's where you need to go. And today, you know, Bizman Hazeh, where every street has, you know, this concern, so it seems like it's not good. It's too bad, but it's unfortunate. But it seems like probably be okay. What about the going to the beach? So here's where Moshe talks about these. I think everybody agrees that going to a beach where there's tons of, you know, women that are not dressed modestly is not the best thing in the world, and probably is usher. Okay. Rav Moshe says, what happens if you need to go for therapeutic reasons? Okay, you need to get better. Or let's say, I don't know, some other reason why you need to go. So most poskim say you can't go. That's ikadar kachrita, because you don't need to go to the beach. And everybody's dressed that way. And not only is everybody dressed that way, why would a beach be worse than the street? Okay, you just go to the street also. You can walk on the street, there are people dressed modestly. Why is the beach worse? I would say the beach is worse. Because what does the beach symbolize? What is the representation of the beach? The beach is known as a place where people don't dress properly. Okay, that's what it is. The essence of a beach is a place where it's perfectly customary and permissible to dress without any clothes. Okay, the street has a mix, and you know, people know maybe whatever, you can hem and haw about it, but a beach is clear, that's the place, that's what it's designed for. So in that case, if that's what a beach is designed for, you'd say basically it's usser. You don't have to go there. But Moshe says if you do need to go there, that's considered like leka darka achrita, if you need to go. And even a beach, which is designed for that, if you think that you can, you know, avoid your hero, then maybe it'd be permissible. And I don't think he says that you're supposed to go all the time. Okay, it's better to go if they're not, you know, at a time of day or a temperature where it's not as much of a problem. And certainly in Israel, where you have, if there are options for separate beaches, that's obviously much better. But if it doesn't work, so Moshe is willing to at least consider for some people being someone making in that situation. What's the standard psak for a beach? The standard psak for a beach is probably that you shouldn't go, because again, the place is designated as a place where people do not dress properly. It's not just like going in the street. Okay, so if you, you know, can go to a separate beach, or you know, any reason why you don't have to go to a beach, you really shouldn't go to a beach. However, this is my predicament. Okay, at times, let's say that you can't go to a separate beach because you have too many kids and your wife can't wash them all by herself. Okay, they're too young; she's too scared to wash them by herself. Can you go to the mixed beach? What do you say? Or mixed swimming? Can you go to the mixed pool?
I think mixed pool is an easier question.
Okay, so let's start with the beach. Okay, the beach.
Sometimes at beaches you can find a quiet spot.
Okay, right. So that, I think that's that may be one direction that you can go. If you feel that it's important to go to the beach because it's summertime, the kids need to get out and they want to go to a water activity, and every single water place you go is going to have a question, which we'll get to in a minute. You want to go to the beach and you can find a spot, and you can't go to the separate beach for whatever reasons I just mentioned or other reasons. If you can find a spot to go where it's pretty quiet and maybe once in a while somebody walks past, but you're basically, you know, looking like you're not looking, so maybe there's room to be a make-ill. Okay, again, it has to be considered. It has to be a shiloh. That's the most important thing we'll get to in a second to get out of this, but it could be that one could be make-ill. Maybe. Okay. I have to admit, I've done this a few times. Don't tell anybody. Whoever hears. I know. I told everybody. Right? Yeah, I know. We found this quiet spot. Okay, where there was very few people right at that spot. And, you know, I would just look this way and I wouldn't even know if somebody walked by because I was looking basically down at the sander at my kids. Okay. If I knew somebody was coming, I would just not look. You know, I wouldn't look or I would move away or something. But it wasn't like the whole place was like that. It was like, you know, every 10 or 15 minutes, somebody would walk by. Saturday, that's no worse than being on a regular street where you'll even more often than that you'll have, you know. So I think in that situation, maybe there's more room to be make-ill. But if you're going to a place where there's a lot of people around and half of them, you know, quite a few of them are dressed immodestly or even a few, I think it's a real problem. And basically what you would need to do if you want to try this is basically have somebody else from your family go there and scout it out. You know, you go nearby, scout it out and say, you know, this is not good for you. And you'll stay back here and keep the kids that don't want to go or whatever, watch them here. And they go, the rest of them go closer to the water.
It's not foolproof because then all of a sudden you're there and then another family comes and
you're right
on the beach.
So you don't go to the beach. I'm saying then you have to go somewhere like, you know, beyond the beach, not right in front of the beach, a little, you know, before that. Again, you know, it's not great. Okay. It's better to go to other places, but if that's, you know, that's the situation. So then maybe, you know, room to make kill. If you're already at the beach and then you realize suddenly that people are coming, so then already for sure, that would be basically turn your eyes and, you know, try not to look. But again, if you can go to beaches which are less problematic or times of day or weather where it's not burning hot and it's not the most obvious thing that people will be dressed in properly. So maybe, you know, maybe you can, you know, there's room to play with that. Last case. Okay. Going on water tiulim I guess maybe the mixed pool is also a question. Maybe we'll leave that for now. Okay. Mixed pool is a bit of a discussion, especially if it's dealing with children more than adults. Adults, it's most posts say that's really inappropriate. If the women are dressed immodestly, meaning dressed like a pool, you know, normally dressed like a pool, that probably would not be appropriate. For kids to go, there's a question about kids. Okay. It could be that Maker Hadin up till age 6 or so, maybe it's mutter. There are plenty of people that want to be more machmir than that, as we are here in Yabed Yamin, and that's fine. But, you know, up till age 6, there is what to be said for being makel for kids, you know, boys and girls going together, because that's not age chinuch. There's not age anything, especially when it comes to erva. I saw Tshuva about this on one of the online websites right before I came, called Din Online, where he, you know, they discussed it, and they basically said, based on other makoros, that there may be room to makel until age 6. Some are more machmir, and it's not bad to be machmir, but, you know, if you're looking to make it, maybe that would be okay. Past that age, most people would say that should not be done. If you talk about the water tulim, so what do you say about the water tulim?
You try to minimize the... Even the water tulim, oftentimes people are basically wearing clothes.
Yeah, a lot of times people are, but during the summertime, there may be some that are not. So,
right.
The question is like this. Right. The question is like this. Is going to a water tulim more similar to going to the beach or more similar to walking in the street in terms of the number of people and the designation of the place in your mind of what it is? You know, going to the beach is, you know, we agree is not really okay in most situations. Going walking on the street, we say, well, you know, what are you going to do? And we're not going to make you stay home all summer. So which one is it?
It's in between,
right? So the question is, bottom line, what do you say about it? So I'll tell you what he says here, and I'll tell you the other option. Basically, what he says here is, he wants to say here that if you go to a place like a water hike where there will be people that will not be dressed properly, and he says that's the situation today in many places in Israel where you go on Tiulim, Zewa Matzav, especially where there's water. He says he doesn't think that's any different than Ikudarka Achrina. Okay. So if it's Ikudarka Achrina, meaning you don't have to go there and you choose to go there, he thinks, Rav Haber thinks, that that's considered to be you're a Russia. Okay, yes, if you're there, you turn your eyes, but really you're a rush and you shouldn't go. The only thing is, he says, okay, maybe you could argue that going on the tiul is considered to be a tzorach. Meaning if there's a need to go on the tiul, it's important to go on the tiul, then maybe that's considered like lekadar kachrita. Why did you have to go on this tiul? I don't know if you have to go on this teal, but if you wanted to go on a warm teal because it's really hot and somebody like needs water, wants water, and you want to get out. So maybe you could say, well, any water teal I go on will have a question. There won't be every single person there dressed improperly, but there might be some. Maybe that's similar to the Lakadar Kacharita. Okay, and maybe he says that's okay. He doesn't really want to say that's really okay. And he says maybe that's okay. And then he says, according to the Rambam, he wants to say that's because the Rambam was dealing with Hirhur. He says, if you don't intend on looking, if you're not Mechave, and if you don't have Kavanah to be Mestakil, then he says maybe according to the Rambam, it would be okay. And the Shulchan Aruch might actually follow the Rambam because the Shulchan Aruch basically quoted the same thing. So he wants to say, according to that, even though the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch did not bring the question of Lekadar Kacharita, he wants to say, if you're not Mechave to be Mestakil, maybe it's Mutter. They just say you're not allowed to look. So if you don't look, or if you don't have a stakless, you don't gaze, maybe it's mutter. That's what we were mentioning before, possibly according to the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch. So either way, there may be room to be makel here, though he's not so convinced of it, and he thinks it would really only be mutter if you can say that going on the teal is a tzorach. I think, Bismanaz, I think there is some what to be said for that. You can't stay home all summer. It's just too hard. And going on a water hike is much more normal and beneficial and effective in the summer than going on a non-water hike. So not every day, but, you know, and to begin with, is going on a water hike, are you going to see any more people that are immodestly dressed than if you walk on the street? Maybe one or two, but the street also is going to have problems. So I don't think we'd require you to stay home. I think if you need to, again, you know, in situations where, you know, you do the best you can and, you know, whatever it is, it's, you know, there may be some room to be makil here. Okay. Especially because I think a water hike is not like a beach in that it's not like everybody goes with bathing suits only. A water hike is, you know, yeah, you'll have some people like this, some people like that. It's not a beach, so it's not really the same. It may not be the same thing in terms of the way that you view it. So again, it's better if you can find a place where you know that most, it's like a Benaz Manam crowd, where it's mostly from people and less immodestly dressed people, or it's a time of day that's a little bit less, you know, crowd, not 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but not always so practical. So think if, you know, when push comes to shove, if you feel that it's important and needed, then there may be some room to make it. We'll just end with this. I think the bottom line here is that all these things should be realized, that about all the things are shilas. Okay, I mean, everything here is a question, and therefore it's something at least you should think about. Okay, once you're thinking about it, you can figure out what to do, but you also will realize in your mind this situation that, you know, I have this issue and I have to deal with it. Okay, maybe you'll conclude that maybe it's based on, you know, some of the things we said, maybe you need to do it and it's important and maybe it's okay, but you'll have in your mind, maybe I'll just try not to look so careful. Like, you know, I'll realize where I am and I'll make sure, you know, mentally that my mental state of mind is such that I can deal with it. That's basically, that would be my perspective. At least if you've done that far, then at least you've done your homework and realized that there's a shaila and you can hopefully deal with it in the right way. Okay. Stop here.